Why don't you open your Bibles with me to the book of Matthew chapter 9. If you would appreciate the spirit we felt so far this morning, we could show up today and have everything just perfectly in line. But if the Spirit of God wasn't here, it wouldn't be worth coming through the doors. But He's here this morning. I know He is. He's speaking. He's here in our hearts, and He's ready this morning to speak to you if you'll listen. I hope God has blessed you the way He's blessed me. I think that we don't know the depth of blessing that many of us have been blessed. And He is worthy of our praise this morning. If you're in Matthew chapter 9 this morning, we're going to preach a message this morning, continuing our service, series of sermons, considering the mission of the church. And the message this morning is entitled, To See His Glory. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. Why don't you stand with me if you can in honor of the reading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It says here in Matthew 9:35, And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you again for this day. Thank you, God, for this blessings of life you've given us. Thank you, God, for this sweet spirit we felt this morning, praising you, God, lifting you up, Lord, just desiring, Lord, that your name be high amongst us this morning, God. We just thank you for all the good things you've done for us. And we thank you now for this hour of preaching that you're about to give us. We pray, Lord God, that everything is said and done according to your will, and that, God, your business will be done today before it's everlasting too late. We trust you, God. Bless us, use us, guide us, and direct us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. May God add his blessings to the reading of his word. This morning, I'll ask you a question to begin this message. Have you ever met a famous person? I know famous is pretty subjective, isn't it? You might have met a famous person or two in your life. Maybe you've not met any famous person. That's probably okay, too. I remember a few times where Becky and I have had the opportunity to meet a famous person. And of course, in this life, meeting a famous person used to be pretty low-key and chill. You're like, oh, you're this famous person. Nice to meet you. I'm a big fan, et cetera, et cetera. But these days, everybody's got their little computer in their pocket, so we got to get about 17 selfies with any famous person we meet, right? And so it's all like, hey, nice to meet you. Can you pose for my picture with me right now? And if it didn't get a picture, it didn't happen, right? So we got to get that picture going. These days and ages, we have a lot of different famous people that we revere in our society. And if those famous people were to show up on our door, walk into our church, or show up in our little town, we would be pretty excited to see them, meet them, and be able to interact with them. But you know, the most famous person I've ever met, I'll have to tell you this morning, was the one that I met that night long ago, like Brother Mike was saying earlier, Vacation Bible School. I heard him speaking my name. I said to my mama, Mama, I think tonight's the night I need to be saved. And so when I got to church, I raised my hand first thing before the message was even shared by the Sunday school, Vacation Bible School teacher. And I said, I want to be saved. And I went to Preacher Sweeney's office. And wouldn't you believe it? There was this famous person right there in that room. His name was Jesus. Now, he had all kinds of places he could be that night, I'm certain. He's very busy, you see. He's the king of the world. Nothing happens without his permission or will. But that night, little boy in that office back there, he showed up right on time just to meet me. Can you believe that? King Jesus wanted to come into my heart. He's the most famous person I've ever met. He's really the only one whose fame will never go away. There's lots of people in this world that will live and die, and they will be famous for a time, but Jesus' name will never depart from our tongues. It will never leave the realm of memory. Jesus is famous throughout the rest of eternity. We're talking about fame today in this message. We're talking about glory. If you want to go ahead, Brother Matt, advance that slide. We've been discussing the mission of the church. We must go. We must grow. We must give all for the glory of Christ. And I want to focus on that final little word there, the glory of Christ. Because you see, Christ is worthy this morning of glory. He is the most glorious one. He is the most worthy one. And it's this glory of Jesus that makes all this possible. All of it worthwhile and all of it good. As someone once said, this whole thing is His show. We're just players in it, right? He's the one that the show's about. He's the one on the edge of our lips. But what is it about Christ's glory that so emboldens and empowers and invigorates the church? I think it's more than just pride in Jesus. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm proud of Jesus this morning, aren't you? Listen, there's all kinds of things I could be proud of. I feel like, I have a passingly good singing voice. I feel like, I'm somewhat funny. I hope I'm a successful and helpful preacher. I'm very proud of my little girl. If you didn't know that, all right, her name's Hazel May. Did you know that? But of all the things that I could be proud of this morning, I'm most proud of my Savior, Jesus Christ, what He's done for me. Because I am who I am today because of everything He's done. And so don't get me wrong. It's good to be proud of Jesus today. There's all kinds of people proud of their sin today. That's what this whole month's about, by the way, if you didn't know that. Very proud about it. I'm proud of Jesus today. That's it. That's what matters to me. But it's more than that. It's more than even these excited, wonderful emotions that we experience when He's here in the Spirit. I love feeling the presence of my Lord and Savior. It wouldn't be worth it today if He wasn't here and being able to enjoy just the presence that is so much larger than you and I. But it goes beyond that as well. It's what Christ's glory does that makes it such a vital part of the church's mission. This morning, I want to suggest to you that Christ's glory is what makes the wheels turn in the church. And therefore, it is the utmost goal, the utmost mission, that if we don't do anything else today, church, at Fellowship Free Will Baptist, we ought to make much of Jesus today, right? In our lives, we shouldn't leave this world without leaving a mark for Him. Amen? So today, I want to share with you three things that the glory of Jesus Christ does. I'm going to be doing it from verses 27 through 31 in Matthew chapter 9. So keep your Bibles open. Let's consider here the first thing that Christ's glory does, and that is this: Christ's glory makes it possible for others to follow Him. I'll say it again. Christ's glory makes it possible for others to follow Him. Read with me verses 27 and 28. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed Him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when He was come into the house, the blind men came to Him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto Him, Yea, Lord. Can we just stop right there? You know, I could just end my sermon right here. Do you believe that Jesus is able to do this? The answer is yes, Lord. Do you believe He can heal your broken body? Yes, He can. Do you believe He can restore and redeem your sin-sick soul? Yes, He can. Do you believe He can take you out of this world, rescue you from the grasp of death, and deliver you safely into that home I just sang about? Yes, I do. If you believe today, I'm here to tell you, it's true. Jesus is able, right? We could just shout on that for a while, couldn't we? I believe it. Jesus is asking that today. Do you believe I'm able to do this? And the answer is always yes when it comes to Jesus. These men, they were blind, the Bible says. They had no vision. Now, blindness in that day and age was increasingly common. They didn't have the same types of protections and medicines and things that you and I have today in our modern age. It was very bright in the Middle East. The sun was out long periods of the day. Those people spent most of their time outside. And in fact, there were diseases and infections and critters and pests that would spread such disease, so that a combination of heavy use and these diseases infecting your eyes, it could happen to anyone back in that day. Someone could become blind. Not even to mention that maybe they had been blind from birth. There's no way to tell whether that might be the case. And I'll tell you this morning, what's so interesting about this scripture, first thing, did you catch it? And when Jesus departed thence, what does it say? Two blind men followed him. Think about that for a second. How difficult is it for a blind man to follow anybody? They can't see, right? It's not like, they can have some sort of way to magically discover where Jesus might be at any given time. They had to work hard, these two men, to find Jesus. They had to work even harder to keep up with him, right? Follow him wherever he was going to go. Most likely they had to have help. They had to have friends. They had to have just a strict reliance upon their other senses to listen and to look for where this Jesus might be going. But the Bible says that they followed him to the best of their ability. Now, I'll say beyond just his physical affliction, blindness in the scriptures is also reminiscent or speaks to the spiritual blindness that man has existed in since the fall in the garden. We came into this world, the Bible says, conceived in sin. We grew up to the age of accountability, to where we confirmed our place in this sin, our participation in it. And from that moment forward, you and I were as lost can be. There was no spiritual element to you or I. There was no mystical guidance that we had access to. It was just us, our flesh, and our sin, right? And so these two men were no different. They experienced the same need for a Savior. They experienced the same affliction of sin. In addition to their physical blindness, they were spiritually blind as well. So again, I'll say, how did these two accomplish the monumental task where their physical and spiritual senses were so afflicted of simply being able to follow Jesus? And I'll suggest to you this morning that His glory, Christ's glory, outshone their limitations. Amen? Listen, I'm going to tell you something. The Bible's pretty clear that you and I have no hope on our own. We have no way to rescue ourselves. And in fact, left on our own, we would certainly be doomed to die and experience an eternity in a devil's hell. But I'm grateful this morning that despite any physical limitations, despite any spiritual limitations, it was the glory of Christ this morning that drew you to Him, if you know Him. It outshone your emptiness. It outshone your spiritual bankruptcy, where you had nothing to offer. You could see the blazing light of the Son of God, willing and able to pay your debt and atone for your sins. I'm certain in that day, these men looking for Jesus, it was the tales of His glory and accomplishments that made that task easier for them to find Him. Amen? If Jesus had been doing nothing on this world, if He'd just been keeping His head down and just going about His business, they would have never found the Son of God. But you see, as we just read at the start of this, Jesus went into every city, every village, into every synagogue, preaching and teaching the gospel and healing their sick and afflicted. And so everywhere he went, the glory of Christ shone round about him so that anybody just looking could see that glory. Church, that is the same way today that the glory of Christ operates. I believe this morning, the book of John, chapter 1, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, brothers and sisters, beloved, it may not be that you and I can comprehend the light of Jesus Christ, but I'm glad this morning, no matter how blind I am, at least I can see it today. Aren't you glad that in the darkness it shines so that you and I have access to it? And we might not fully understand it. It lost in our sin, lost and undone. But we can see where to go when Jesus is made much in front of us, right? And we can stumble forward stammering with our old dead lips and dead tongues. The glory of Christ is the lighthouse. It's the beacon that draws lost men and women to Him. Church, I'm telling you this morning, our common hearts, we typically find unrestrained exaltation a little bit unpalatable. But I think that's because this morning, the things that we lift up aren't truly worthy for the glory that we give them. But this man, this Jesus, he is worthy today. Christians dilute and depress their power when they start making much of themselves. There are plenty of churches today across this world where I doubt the name of Jesus will ever be mentioned amongst the whole body. They'll be talking about all kinds of other things. And there's no lack of anything to talk about, ain't there? God help us, right? There's all kinds of things to talk about in this world. And they'll just talk all about Him and they won't say anything about Jesus. But church, we rob ourselves of the power that the church has when we stop making much of Jesus and we start making more of ourselves. Jesus said in John 12, 32, "And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." He was lifted up on the cross. He was put down in the earth. But 3 days later, He got right back up. He ascended to heaven. And there He is now, drawing all men unto Him. We can make much of Jesus too, church. And if we do that, His glory will make it easier for others to follow. Number two, I'm tired, church. I don't know if you know it, but I've been moving. And I was like, I don't know if I'm going to get up here and preach this morning, all right? But now I feel the presence of the Lord. I think I can go for a couple hours, all right? I'll try not to, okay? But Jesus is here. He's speaking. Let's go, number two. Number two, Christ's glory opens the door to faith in Him. We see that in verse 29. Remember, Jesus asked, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" They said unto Him, "Yea, Lord." Then verse 29, "Then He touched their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you." And then verse 30, of course, says, "And their eyes were opened." Seeing the glory of Christ, again, being blind, but seeing the glory of Christ, these two men came to a conclusion about Him. That's the way it still happens in this world, church. If we're doing our job as the church today, we'll make much of Jesus Christ. We will glorify Him so that all the world can see. And then the world will be forced to make a decision, right? They can see the glory of Christ and they can choose. Well, that's nothing. It has nothing for me. Nothing that I have a need of, the glory of Christ can provide. Or they can be like these two blind men who were so desperate and unworthy and unable to help themselves. When they saw and heard the glory of Christ, they said, "There's only one man He can be. He's the Son of God today." They called Him Son of David. Did you know that that's the first time in Scriptures that Jesus was called Son of David? That's a messianic title. That signified that they believed the lineage of Jesus Christ, that He was the heir of King David, that He was heir to the throne of Israel. He was heir to the throne of the world. And so they said, "Son of David, have mercy on us." is what they said that day. And Jesus had mercy on them. Oh, praise God. Church, when we glorify Christ, we put the glory of Him out there. They're not going to be able except to have to make a decision about it. You can't ignore it. You can disbelieve it or you can believe it. But church, you can't ignore it today, all right? When you hear the name of Jesus, you have to make a decision about that name. There are people in churches today who will hear the name of Jesus and they'll decide they don't need Him today and they'll walk out those doors and they'll take their lives and their eternities into their own hands, right? God help you today if that's you this morning. Don't take your life into your own hand today before walking out these doors. Step forward this morning. Call upon this name of Jesus. Tell Him you believe. He'll save you just like He saved these two blind men that day. You see, the glory of Christ opens the door for others to have faith in Him. Now listen, the way they reached this decision, it relied upon a couple of factors. Again, they said, Lord, have mercy on us. I think that's so interesting. You know, many times when we're need of something desperately, when we are, really struggling. I'll give you an example. I was carrying a quite heavy TV with my wife yesterday. She's gonna kill me, all right? And we were walking across the yard, and she looked like she was wavering, all right? My TV, that's my baby, church. That's my second baby, Hazel, and then my TV, all right? And I prayed, Lord Jesus, help her, all right, you know? I was desperate, all right? I mean it. Give her the strength. Get across this yard. Don't drop this TV today. I can't deal with that. Church, when we are in a state where we realize and recognize that we don't have anywhere else to go, we sometimes will bargain, we'll plead, we'll pray, we'll say, oh, God, you know, help me this way, help me this way. Just get me in the house, I'll do this, blah, 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 blah. What I love about these two blind men is that they didn't do any of that pleading or bargaining or anything. Jesus, you know, help us. We'll be your follower. We'll do everything you tell us to do. We'll do what this, that. What was their appeal? What did they say? Have mercy upon us. They knew exactly who they were, didn't they? They knew exactly how helpless they were, how desperate they were. They only had one need. They didn't have the payment for the need. They couldn't do anything about it. Only their faith could open that door, and only the mercy of Jesus Christ could give them the answer. And finally, their response. Jesus said, do you believe I'm able to do this? Again, Jesus healed the blind men in response to their faith. Church, faith does not guarantee healing for every individual, for every situation. But I'm going to tell you this morning, you hear me right now, there are multitudes of people on this earth who could be healed if they would simply have the faith to ask Him. That's the truth. Faith may not immediately provide what you think you need or want. God's got a plan. We'll just have to trust Him with that. But I know for a fact, can't you testify this? We'll be here forever. Can't you testify this morning in your hour of need? You called out to King Jesus, have mercy on me. And what did He do? He met your need. Because of your faith, there are scores of people today. If they would simply do that, they would find mercy they so desperately need. So that was what it hinged upon with these two men. They had to have the faith to be able to believe and call upon that faith. And they had to put themselves in the position to cry out for the mercy. And they had to believe He truly was the Son of God. In many ways here, we see what Christ did for them, Christ still does for us. Jesus said, according to your faith, let it be so to you. Here again, Matthew emphasizes the proper faith that men should have in Jesus and the blessings that can come through that faith. Folks, Jesus is saying the same to us. There is much to have by faith today, and there's much that is never received because people lack that faith. Sometimes we'll call upon His name and we won't like the answer that we get, or we won't like the place where He's drawing us to go. There was a man that fell off a cliff one time, And he reached out and he just by the very, you know, skin on his, you know, the hair on his chin just grabbed a branch and was hanging there. And he yelled, "Is there anybody up there? Can you help me?" And would you believe it? He heard the voice of the Lord speak to him. And it said, "Don't worry. I'm the Lord. I can help you. I'm going to save you. You just have to do what I tell you." And the man said, "Okay, I'll do it." He said, "All right, let go and I will save you." And there was a pause. And then the man said, "Is there anybody else up there who could help me out?" I mean, that's funny, but ain't that how we are, church, sometimes? We cry out to the Lord. The Lord has the answer. I'm like, I don't know if I can go that. I don't know if I have enough faith, Lord, to believe that you can rescue. I've asked you to rescue me, right? Those men could have asked Jesus to have mercy. But if they didn't believe that Jesus could do it, they would still be blind at the end of their lives, right? It's about having the faith today that Jesus can answer your prayer if you'll call out to Him and humble yourselves. And that glory that we've seen Jesus do time and time over and over, answer and achieve and accomplish, that's what opens the door of that faith. If He did it for them, He can do it for me. I believe it today. That's why it's so important to glorify Him, church. Church, I want us to be a church where the glory of Christ is the reason why we do what we do. We don't do it for our fame. We don't do it for our recognition. We simply do it for His, because if we lift Him up, people will have faith to say yes to Him. Let me move on. Finally, number three. We've seen here today that Christ's glory makes it possible for others to follow Him. We've seen it today that Christ's glory opens the door of faith. But finally, number three, we read in verses 30 and 31, Christ's glory brings fame to the one who most deserves it. Christ's glory brings fame to the one who most deserves it. Read with me verses 30 through 31. Again, it says, "And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straitly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad His fame in all that country." See, Jesus gave them a warning. Don't let anybody know this. Don't let anybody know what I've done for you. But I'm pretty dubious, before I get to my point here, I'm pretty dubious that they would have even been able to obey that command. I want you to think about that for a second. They didn't have sunglasses or anything, you know, that they could put on their faces and act, "Oh, I'm still blind." What are they going to do when they see their family and their friends? "Oh, hey there, how you doing?" "Oh, I'm good, how are you? What's new with you?" "Oh, nothing much." "You can see now?" You know, I mean, how do you keep something when you were blind and now you're not? How does that not get out, right? So listen, we can say, "Hey, y'all should have done what Jesus said." But the reality of the situation is this. I admire their excitement for what God had done. Don't you? I'm going to tell you right now, the most discouraging thing of being a pastor, I don't know what you could think about this, but here's what I would say is the most discouraging thing in my 9 years of being a pastor. It's when you sit at the throne of God, you sit at the feet of Jesus, you feast upon the bread of His Word, you hear His promises and what He's able to do, and then you get excited on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night to stand before the congregation and share the wonderful things that Jesus can do. And then nobody's excited about it. It's like, "And then Jesus healed the blind men." And everybody's like, "Did you hear what He did? Did you hear He raised the ruler's daughter up from the dead? Did you hear He healed the leprous man? Did you hear He went to the cross? Jesus is worth getting excited over today. He's worthy to lift up and glorify." And I got to be careful because I scare people when I get really excited. But I'm telling you, Back in the old days, they'd hop up on these pews and they'd run them back and they'd run around because they felt the presence of God and it excited them and they knew they were on their way to hell, but Jesus reached out his arm and pulled them up. Shouldn't that get you excited today? He saved you from eternal torment. The glory of Christ puts fame on the name that most deserves it today, church. So you know, I'm not going to hold it against those blind men that they got excited that Jesus was able to meet their need. Jesus can meet your need today too, church. Maybe he's not because you're not very excited about it. Jesus is able. Church, I just want you to imagine this. I'm going to end with this here, okay? If you don't believe what I'm saying today, I want you to consider this. Consider this. I'm going to set the scene for you. It's the throne room of heaven. Everyone is abuzz. Something's happening. Something that has been long awaited. Something that no one knew when it was going to happen. No idea when it's coming. We just know it's coming. We don't have any idea. But now something's happening. The Lord's moving. He's drawing up the book. He's looking over to his son. Something's happening. And John walks into this scene, the book of Revelation, chapter 5. He's here in the throne of heaven, and the whole place is abuzz. And listen to what John writes. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, innumerable. And all of them saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." You see, the time had come to launch the judgment, to wrap this whole thing up, to let this world pass away in fire and the new heaven and the earth to descend. And they've brought forth the book of judgment, and all of heaven is saying, "Who's going to open it?" And then they cry out, "It's Jesus. Jesus, the worthy Lamb." Who else could it be, church? Who paid the price? Who took our sins upon himself? Who boldly walked out of the grasp of death? Who rescued the saints from paradise? Who ascended to heaven? Who is sitting now at the right hand of God? It's Jesus Christ. It's him. He's the Lamb. He's the Lion. He's the one worthy today. And so that glory, it attributed to him, it draws people to him. But church, above every other name, above every other person, above every other entity, it's Jesus that's worthy of this focus and this attention. I've heard it said that a moment enjoyed is never a moment wasted. Now that's a nice little saying, but it's not true, by the way. Okay. You can enjoy eating your second biscuit in the morning from Pals. You probably didn't need it. That was probably wasted. All right, I'm just talking about myself, okay? But here's something I can say to you this morning, then we'll close. Every second spent praising Jesus is never a second wasted. You and I could sing his praises from this very moment until the day we die, and it still wouldn't be enough to lift up his holy name. His glory today, as the church's utmost goal and ambition, brings praise and honor to the only name under heaven and earth that deserves it. And that's reason enough for you and I to be engaged in it above all else. Here's how we'll close this morning. You know, we make people in this day and age famous for all types of reasons. You ever heard of going viral? That's something that happens. Somebody does something silly. They capture it on a picture or a video. They post it to the internet. And then that person has 15 seconds of fame. You know? And it's just the silliest things you can imagine. Why people get famous for a little bit of time. And they captivate our attention. And boy, that's all well and fine. Whatever. I'm not condemning anybody. But I'm telling you today, I'm worried that the church has gone right along with that society that we're in, and we think of everything else that we can praise this morning before we lift up the name of Jesus. Listen, I could come in here, and I could give you, as your new pastor, here's our mission statement, here's our policies and procedures, here's the new program we're going to have, here's how we're going to accomplish it, and there are certainly men who are far more qualified than I to create such a program and implement it. And that could be a wonderful thing. But if the end result of all of that today is not the glory of Jesus Christ, we've lost the mark, all right? We've lost the thread. I'm serious today about us going to the lost, aren't you? I'm serious. I'm serious about us growing in Christ and growing one another as disciples. I'm serious about that. I'm serious about us seriously giving our time, our energy, our money, our resources, and making an impact in people's lives. I'm serious about that. But the reason I'm serious about it is because we have a serious Savior today. And He is worthy of all the honor and glory we can possibly give Him today. And so I want you to think about, for the next 30 seconds, can you do that for me? 30 seconds, we're going to pray. Here's what I want you to think about this morning. Number one, is my life bringing glory to Jesus Christ? Because if it's not, we're falling short somewhere. Number two, is my church bringing glory to the name of Jesus Christ? Is that what we're about more than anything else? If it's not, Lord God, help us. Give us the direction and the guidance we need. Will you pray for those two things with me this morning? We need to make more and more about Jesus every day. John said, He must increase, I must decrease. It's the same. When we shed our sins, when we gain that new nature, it's all about making more of Him and less of us. Can we make that our prayer today? Father God, we thank You for this day. Thank You for the blessings of life. Thank You, God, for being here in the midst of us and visiting us with Your glory this morning, God. I felt Your presence. I felt Your touch. I felt Your Spirit. God, I don't want to be famous. I don't want this church to be famous. I don't want really anybody to remember anything about me. I don't even really want anybody to remember anything about this church. What I'd want more than anything else, though, is for more people to know about the name of Jesus and to remember everything He's ever done, because He's the one today who can save. He's the one today who can heal. He's the one, God, who has the answer. I don't. And so, God, I pray this morning as we lift Him up, look into our own hearts. Help us, Lord, to consider and wrestle, reconcile with the idea, God is my life, making much of You, Jesus. And then, God, help us to reconcile and to consider God as our church, bringing You glory. God, I believe it is. But from this day forward and every day that comes, I want it to be engaged in giving Him even more and more glory. God, would You answer that prayer? God, we believe You can do that. God, we have faith. Have mercy on us today. Where we can't give You glory the way You deserve it, God, You can give us Your Spirit, and our souls can magnify Him. God, would You help us this morning to make glory our number one ambition, the glory of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Lord, thank You for this day. Thank You for the blessings of life. Forgive us for our sins. Help us when we fail You. Help us be the church, God, that You deserve. In Jesus' name we pray. All the people said, Amen and Amen.